guess what? It's Max and Stacy with the Truth About Markets, Resonance 104.4 FM in London. But today we have a special treat for everybody, Max, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're out here on the street walking around here on Rue Poncelet in the 17th arrondissement of Paris. And so it's a bit of a walkabout, isn't it, Stacy?
It's a walkabout, and this is kind of going back to the heart of what the show was supposed to be 5 or 6 years ago when Resonance first commissioned the show, and they thought the truth about markets meant fruit and veg markets.
Oh.
So we're actually about to enter fruit and veg market.
That's right. Richard will be very happy. It only took us 5 years to do the show that he commissioned. So this is about 300 shows later, 5 years later, we're finally going to do what Richard wanted us to do, which was to make a show about fruit and vegetable markets. So we're approaching a fruit and vegetable market now. You can hear the fruit and veggie sellers screaming out the specials of the day for strawberries and cherries and avocados and whatnot. And, oh, I smell some delicious, what is that, some pretzels. That's interesting.
No, I think it's the hot dogs and sauerkraut.
That's a good French dish for sure.
So yeah. And we also see a true market here. Okay, so the mangoes here are 3 for €8.
Yeah.
In competition with this guy right around the corner, who I often buy from, and he's 3 for €10.
Yeah, you see a price competition right here. And it's interesting because a couple of things I want to bring up here. First of all, the price of food and gas in the UK and in the US and around the world is going up a lot because of this massive global surfeit of fiat money being pumped into the system by the central banks to try to revive the real estate market. That's not working, but price of food and gas is going higher. And you see that everywhere, people complaining that the price of food are having a major food crisis. And also, you know, we were saying the other day, it's interesting that you see these videos on the web about people trying to buy stuff using a gold Krugerrand. You know, they try to buy a 99-cent burrito with a $1,500 gold Krugerrand, and they get rejected at the drive-through lane. Here in France, of course, it's the opposite. I can go into the post office and demand my change in silver bullion, and I get a blended or an alloy coin, which is, I think, 50 or 60% silver. And I can use that immediately anywhere in France. And so they are circulating bullion. Silver and gold bullion is circulated right now. They started doing that a couple of years ago because this is a country that understands the dangers of fiat money. They've had one major revolution in 1789. And, of course, back in 1715, when John Law came around and introduced the idea of paper money, they had a huge financial collapse. So they understand the dangers of paper money.
Yeah, it sounded like you were in the middle of a sentence.
Well, I was kind of in the middle. And also, the price of gas, of course, is going up dramatically in the U.S., where the dollar is crashing. But because the euro is going up a lot, the Europeans are not suffering this catastrophic rise in gas prices as much because the euro, the purchasing power, is rising. You know, when we were in the Netherlands last year, they quoted every single day in the paper the fluctuations in purchasing power of the euro, which is a statistic you never see quoted in, let's say, the Wall Street Journal or Financial Times, because if they did, people would be horrified because every single day it would drop like a stone. But in Europe, they have a lot more sensitivity to the purchasing power of the currency, and it's quoted every day in the paper.
Yeah, I noticed this stand here, Poncelet Premier. They have 10 avocados for €3 or 5 for €2. And then the one just on the other side over there, they've got the avocados for €2 each.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can spend a lot for fruit here. You know, the 1 kilo of the high-end strawberries goes for €17.
Right.
So that's, what's 40% above that? Would be, let's see, 153,
that would be
6.
About 13 pounds.
Yeah, or what, $23 a kilo. For strawberries, approximately $23-$24 a kilo for strawberries. One mango was
€5.
Yeah, like $8 for one mango.
Yeah.
So, of course, now in dollars it sounds like quite a bit of money, of course, but euros are going up. Euros are appreciating. It's still a lot, but a lot of the stuff is grown in France, so you're supporting the local French economy. And the French economy is a mixed economy, isn't it? It's both state-run and free market capitalism. And the mixed economy generates one of the highest standards of living in the world, as you find in other European countries as well. Whereas in the U.S., they don't have the benefit of a mixed economy. It's a monolithic economy, and it's collapsing, and the standard of living is collapsing.
Well, actually, speaking of the euro, you know, the true Finns came into, a voting bloc. They got 20% of the vote in Finland, and that was last weekend. And the whole rumor was, oh, my God, it's going to be, the euro area. The euro will fall sharply on Monday because the true Finns, don't want, they're against the bailouts of Portugal, which has not yet been negotiated. So, and yet, the euro continued to soar this past week against the dollar. But that shows you as well that everybody are in a paper mindset. So they constantly, I saw so many people comment about how baffling it was that the euro was rising against the dollar. But what they failed to recognize was that the euro was also plummeting against gold and silver.
Yeah, they don't take that into consideration, absolutely. And I never bought into the euro was going to fall apart story. That was prevalent last year when the euro was down. You know, I know Jim Rogers also is a big believer in the euro. Because, remember, most of the euro is Germany. Germany is growing in value. And Germany is doing fantastically well. And that's the euro story is Germany. If Ireland and Greece and Italy, or definitely if Ireland and Greece and Portugal all collapsed tonight, it would be something like less than 2% of GDP of the eurozone. So it wouldn't be missed. People in America would love to think that the euro is in somehow comparable to the dollar and equally at risk, but that's false. The euro has Germany. The dollar has nothing. It has, what does it have? Nothing.
It's Hollywood. But California, look at California. It's bankrupt.
California is bankrupt. California is collapsing. So there's no comparison to be made. But all the paper currencies are falling against gold and silver, and in particular silver. And I saw an interesting story this past week about silver. The person said that the silver is definitely experiencing a bubble. The bubble that it is experiencing is the bubble in the U.S. dollar is collapsing. And that silver prices are snapping back from being suppressed for decades. And on this Easter Sunday, it's important to know that I believe Jesus was sold out by a compadre for something like 30 pieces of silver. And if you work through where the price of silver should be today versus where it was 2,000 years ago, this guy came up with a valuation of $500 an ounce, which he said is remarkable because Max Kaiser is calling for $500 an ounce for silver. And divinely inspired?
Were you?
Well, yes, it's all keys back to the long-term trends of precious metals. It goes back 5,000 years. You had empires come and go. You had an experiment with fiat money that started 40 years ago when the U.S. closed the gold window, and that experiment has been a failure. Keynesianism has been a failure, and it's reversion back to the mean, which is precious metals, gold and silver, and this will settle out with gold close to $10,000 an ounce, silver close to $500 an ounce. People are just starting to wake up to the gold and silver story. They've already made enormous moves. Obviously, we started talking about silver when it was 9. It's closing in at 50. We start talking about gold when it was 400. It's closing in on 1,500. So this has all happened under the nose of mainstream media. No one's really been talking about it. And even today, the big story is how people are dumping their gold in the pawn shops and ripping their gold teeth out and selling their gold. They don't understand that the big story is still to come about people mass panic buying of gold and silver.
Yeah, but actually, I read that article about people going to the pawn shop. And every single pawn shop owner they talked to expressed sorrow for these people. They said the people who are coming in are, 90% of them are seriously depressed, and it's a bad situation that they're coming in giving away something that is so valuable and precious to them because they can't make their mortgage payment or something. So it's not like that. You didn't get the sense that people are going in and euphoria going, yeah, I'm going to cash in. It's they come in parting with their valuables in a very not happy way. So we're going to sit down at the what is normally selling foie gras, and just across from our favorite fruit and veg market, you see those are our strawberries, our favorite strawberries. Those are French strawberries, of course.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that sell for $17.95 a kilo.
Yeah, those are the high-end strawberries. And now I see the cherries are back in season, and some peaches are coming in, which is nice. And, of course, those blonde asparagus look like men's sexual organs, and they're propped up in a way that adds to the illusion.
Yeah, right in front of the avocados.
You got two big avocados, which, of course, is Aztec for testicle. And on top of that, you've got these blonde, dick-like asparagus stalks looming overhead. But
some French person just walked by and understood your English and smiled.
Yeah, they like to suck on the white asparagus stalk every once in a while. So the gold and silver, the story, the buyers of now they're sellers, they're pawnbrokers, they're dumping their gold and silver. You know, and this is to pay off their mortgage, to pay off their worthless paper mortgages that were voiced. What's this guy all about?
Why is this guy coming right up to us with his loud motorcycle?
I don't know. He likes to smoke and drive at the same time.
He talks like a fruit and veg seller, though. He has that voice.
Most of them are severely hungover. You can tell that they were out until 3 a.m. drunk, waiting for the vegetables to come in off the trucks. And they drink all night, and then they try to make it through the day before collapsing into the gutter. But so you got these people, they're selling their gold to pay off their worthless mortgage when it's a horribly, you know, I mean, these people should be organizing to put the mortgage sellers in jail. They should all be foreclosing on the mortgages. They should all be banding together to do whatever is necessary to put the bankers out of business so that they don't have to sell their gold to pay off worthless paper. I mean, that's absurd, of course. Here in the UK, you know, how's the activism going in the UK? The UK Uncut is still pretty active. I see some big protests up in the north, right? There was some...
Yeah, I'm not sure what it was all about. It happened at a Tesco, but there was the police came in to try to force out some squatters, and then there were riots that ensued. It sounds like what happened in Amsterdam and then in also Copenhagen when they cleared out Christiania.
I get it. Yeah, well, outside of London, of course, the real estate market in the UK is still dropping, and the austerity measures are cutting. And, you know, this is where you're going to find a lot more action in places like Manchester and up north and Birmingham. And these cities are, you know, becoming more and more enraged at the fact that they're being asked to subsidize banker theft. And so things are heating up in these areas of the UK still, as they are in other cities. And
that's the fish seller for, I know Richard would love to hear that. He likes to have a full update on what's happening in the fruit and veg and fish market of Paris, France.
Yeah, those are the good fish mongers. And they've got the scallops. I like those scallops. Yeah, they come in those big fan shells. And I like to have those scallops on a skewer, you know, like roasted with some onions and peppers and whatnot.
Yeah, I noticed the restaurant right next to our apartment has that for their lunch special today. Maybe we should...
Oh, okay. I'm definitely going to... We should check that out. And I like what they do with these melons. They cut a wedge out, and then they prop it up vertically. It looks like the melon is waving. Hello.
Well, if you put that next to the avocado with the big white asparagus coming out of the two avocados.
It looks like two big breasts. And it looks like the fruit is having a massive orgy over here.
The slice also looks very feminine.
It does. It has the shape of the of the female.
Do you want to stand up and walk back there, maybe a little bit?
Why? Is your buddy butt getting cold?
No, my buddy butt's not getting cold. It's almost 80 degrees here.
Oh, is it hard?
It's hard.
It's hard. The hard surface on your. On your delicate little posterior? When you want to get up?
Why are you doing that to me? That's the guy that you just said is drunk. He's there. I told you he had a fruit and veg seller's voice.
He did. He drives like a crazy man, and now he's selling the mushrooms. Those are delicious mushrooms.
Maybe we should go over there and buy some strawberries.
All right.
And see what happens.
I'm only going to get half a kilo because they're too expensive.
Yeah, that's right. But, this is a special Easter treat for Richard at Resonance,
yeah.
Who commissioned this show from us 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And we're finally delivering.
Yeah, well, we should find some nice eggs, too, the Easter eggs to go with this special show.
These raspberries look good, too.
Maybe I'll get a box. But those are like, how much are those? Three boxes for 10 euros. That's pretty good. That sounds like a good price.
Is this guy waiting on people, or is he just shouting?
I think, hey, wait.
Okay, because I think he's waiting on her.
Huh? All right. I'll see what we got here.
Okay, so Max is picking out some framboise, the raspberries. Those look really fantastic. Those look
he's handling the asparagus now.
Why? You didn't even order any. He just wanted to touch it.
I think he just likes to touch it.
I also like the strawberries.
But,
This is, we're ordering the expensive strawberries here because they do look extra special, I have to say. They do look better than the ones from Spain.
Well, you know, in fact, these are, as you can see, they're from Britain. These are
Brittany.
Brittany, exactly.
You know how those people. So here they have avocados 4 for €3.
We're gonna get those.
See that they're
4 for €3.
That's a better deal than they were offering just a few days ago. What else do we want?
Cat d'avocat. See the play.
See, this is exciting stuff, Richard. Richard
must
be having a total visual thing. Hey, Max, you ordered some of those cherries yesterday.
I see
the
yeah.
20 euros for that little thing, but they come in a cute little box.
I don't think that's 20 euros for that.
Why does it say 20 euros on every single one?
I just can't believe it's 20 euros for not even a half a kilo of cherries. I can't believe it.
This looks like,
to keep the sexual metaphor, this looks like one of those butt plugs. You know, it's a... ça c'est quoi? A Marie. It's a champignon.
€50 a kilo from Turkey.
From Turkey, €50 a kilo. Et ça c'est 20 euros? 20 euro, un petit pot?
Demi kilo?
Wow.
Okay, the guy's on drugs, if he thinks.
Okay, you got everything you need?
Do we need it? Pêche?
Un peu singulier. Pas très sucré.
Okay. Pas très sucré?
No.
No, pas bon, okay.
No, how about the orange?
Début.
Okay. So, this is a sort of seller that you find.
He said not to buy the peaches yet because they're just the début. They're just they haven't realized their full potential yet.
So he discourages.
He said no, don't buy them. They're shit. Don't buy them. The peaches are shit. Oh, sorry. I forgot. The sensitive ears of the Britons can't handle this type of thing.
So only in Paris will you find. But that's because he's concerned. He knows you're a repeat customer, and he knows that if he sells to you, bad peaches, you won't return.
Well, there's the other dimension, is that all French people are essentially gourmand or gourmet, and they just have an appreciation. They're not, their compensation is not tied to volume.
Yeah.
They're
going
to make the same amount of money no matter what they sell today. As part of, again, this mixed economy that is capitalism and socialism combined, depending on what circumstances warrant. You know, when times are good, they hit the capitalism button. But when there's a huge retraction, they hit the socialism button. And it works. Of course, the standard of living, again, is one of the highest in the world. And they have that option in the U.S.
But that guy should be hired from S&P or Fitch. Well, if Fitch is kind of French, they should hire him because he's given an honest rating, even when his income or his ability to sell his own product is tied to the rating he's just given that peach. We should apply his peach rating to various financial products around the world.
Well, there's an honesty and an integrity that you don't find in the financial markets, in any aspect of the markets, including the rating agencies. You know, we're finding out the rating agencies are basically for hire. You can get them to rate anything you want for a price, just like the accountants, including folks like KPMG or Deloitte and Touche. You pay them for a rating. You pay them for an analysis. They don't do independent work. They are, you know, mercenaries for hire. Same thing for fund managers. Same thing for analysts. If you have the money, you can turn toxic sludge into AAA-rated credit, send it to a pension fund, make a fee, and never have any accountability whatsoever.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt here because I'm going to move us to this little cafe here. Sit down and have a coffee and a croissant here.
Oh.
How do you like this idea?
You think they have table service?
I think they might. Otherwise, we can just go up to the counter. I could send Max
There's
Kaiser.
There's a table. Maybe they have service.
There's a table. There's service.
Maybe. I see. They have this is Paul. I believe this is British. Paul is a British chain of French-style cafes, I think.
Well, regardless of that, they do have a very nice position here in a quiet area, just next to a fruit and veg stand. I think Richard would probably come to this one here. I think this is where he would. I think the price is right on this one, and their goods look okay. They're not very aggressive sellers. You notice this place? They never do the whole shouting thing.
That depends. Sometimes at the end of the day. There he comes. He's out there shouting. No, but I can see Richard stripping down naked and rolling in these apples and peaches and rubbing himself on the pineapples. You know, you get a nice pineapple skin rub. It's a good exfoliant, isn't it? And that's the kind of thing Richard likes to do because he's a true visionary. He's an artist. He's somebody who's taken Resonance FM 104.4 to becoming the national treasure that it has become.
Well, I like this place because it's also right across from the Fromagère, and we do go a little bit wild for our fromagerie.
Well, the cheeses are what keep me here in France. You know, the Comté, the Cantal, these are world class cheeses. And it keeps my sperm count high, and I'm really happy with it. You know, and the fights off the evil bacteria of whatnot and so forth.
You know, it's just a load of old, very old ladies up at the cafe here ordering their croissants, and here comes a man selling us a newspaper that we don't want.
Well, that's the downside of living in Paris, are the extraordinary number of old ladies who clog up the works. You know, you get behind them at the bank or the post office or here at the cafe, and they spend about 20 minutes counting through their change, and then, oh, they know there's a little penny in there somewhere. They just have to find it. I mean, if you figure it's progressive, you know, this disease of failing to look ahead and plan ahead that you find sometimes in the double X set. You know, women who'd stop at a toll booth and then suddenly are struck with the idea, oh, I'm going to start looking for my change to pay the toll, as if that wasn't, you know, obvious from half a mile away. And as you get older and older, women get worse and worse. So when you get an 80-year-old woman you know, their ability to clog up the works here at the cafe are really, really remarkable.
That is one of the mangiest looking pigeons I have ever seen. What is wrong with that?
Yeah, he looks a bit beaten up.
Yeah. Anyway, so did you want to order a croissant?
Not me, no. But did you want something?
No. Should we get up and walk again?
Okay, great. Let's do it.
Because I noticed this loud thing here that people keep on walking over.
Oh, yeah.
And
it's a big rim.
Making the whole bing bong, bing bong, bing bong, bing bong. Okay, so anyway, so Max Kaiser.
Yeah.
What has happened since last week that we were here on Resonance 104.4 FM is that the U.S. debt outlook has been downgraded.
Oh, yeah, that's right. S&P, they came out and said the U.S. debt, they think it might not be AAA rated. They're going to think about cutting the rating. And this sent a lot of people scrambling, you know, to basically the story that it's been clear for years now, U.S. debt is not worth AAA rating. They say it's a 1 in 3 chance they're gonna cut the rating. Whether they cut it or not, governments and investors around the world are dumping U.S. dollar-based investments. This is why the dollar is very close to hitting a new all-time low against its trading, you know, the trade-weighted basket. And once it hits, you know, breaks through that level, then I think we'll see a 50% markdown pretty quickly and a new world order, Bretton Woods too, and gas and food and everything in the United States are going to jump in price by 100% in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but remarkably, the British pound, I guess because Britain is genuinely like a colony of the U.S. by this point, is that it's plummeting along with the dollar.
Well, they're all plummeting against gold and silver, as we talked about. The British pound is not collapsing like the dollar. The strong currencies out there are the Canadian dollar, the Australian dollar, the Norwegian krona. You know, currencies tied to resources like oil, and those currencies are doing well. The Swiss franc is doing well as a safety, you know, for safety reasons, although they don't have anywhere near the gold that they used to have. So the Chinese yuan, apparently there's a rumor, right, that they were marking that up 10%, which is
this weekend. So
yeah.
I mean, we'll know by the end of this week whether or not it was the end of this weekend whether or not it was a true rumor.
And silver on some, I guess in Switzerland, silver was trading up a buck and change to almost $49 an ounce on the news of this Chinese revaluation.
Yeah. And by the way, I know there are quite a few people who prefer their rumors to come from mainstream media, and that was a rumor from CNBC that came via CNBC.
Mm. Well, sure. This is kind of the Peter Schiff scenario, a decoupling scenario, where China revalues upwards, which means that all of the people in China who have been unable to afford to buy the very things that they've been manufacturing will suddenly be able to buy the things that they're manufacturing. So the economy goes from an export-led economy to a domestic demand-led economy. But on the same token, as we find out more and more every day, the number of cities that are being built that are entirely empty is remarkable, and that seems entirely unsustainable. And there's been labor unrest at the ports.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is like there have been major labor riots happening in the last few weeks, and I guess in the middle of this global sort of revolution happening, that it makes sense for them to revalue their currency, because if they revalue by 10%, even 20%, suddenly, like all of those apartments that we saw, 64 million apparently are empty apartments. And, you know, they showed completely empty cities, entirely empty, built for 11 million people, empty. Now, those apartments are at like $75,000. They're selling dollars. So imagine if somebody suddenly had a 20% deposit overnight via currency revaluation.
Yeah, that would be interesting. And we'll see whether this long-term strategy works. The also big buyers, of course, for silver is in China and India as well. India, traditionally gold buyers, they're now moving into silver. And Chinese have been big gold buyers, they're moving into silver. Plus, a lot of people are selling out of their paper silver, like the SLV, Exchange Traded Fund, and they're buying physical silver. So that's another dynamic in the marketplace. But the demand for silver is much greater than supply by a huge factor. And as we head toward $500 an ounce, now I only wish that the activist community in the UK would understand the importance of rallying around $500 silver as a way to decapitalize the companies that you're trying to decapitalize, like the Tesco's of the world and the Virgin Mega and the Topshop and Vodafone. The single common theme is that they're all tied to the corrupt banking system, which is all vulnerable to $500 silver. I only wish that, you know, these activists, they refuse to take the final logistical step toward what they need to do to affect change and succeed, which gets back to my long-running theory that activists don't want to succeed because they enjoy two things. One, being activists and not succeeding, and two, legitimizing their failure in society because they're activists. So until they get over themselves and pick a winning strategy, as I've outlined, they're going to be, severely behind the curve.
Yeah, but being in opposition is also a nice place to be. It's often easier than actually succeeding and achieving your goals.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's easier to be in opposition and complaining when you could very easily win. The UK Uncut could win in right now by simply adopting the $500 silver strategy. And you go on Jeremy Paxman and he can't defeat you. I mean, you're winning.
Okay, so I guess we could start walking again. This might be a kind of a strolling walking show.
Okay. So we're definitely strolling.
We're definitely strolling now. What's this big old piece of straw? Yarn. That's a weird thing.
I believe it's some kind of buoy.
Oh, it's a buoy.
You see, that's the seafood fish spot.
What is this place?
This is
Mihote de Vaux. It looks kind of, there's no name on it. That's another very French thing. They just don't advertise themselves. There's no visible name on the window there.
There's no upside to it. You're not going to make any more or less money. You make the same anyway. But I think that's like Jewish pastries and stuff, I think. It seems like they have that like poppy seed pastry and that you find in the Marais and the traditional Jewish quarters of the city.
Well, okay, so we talked about the dollar, we talked about the downgrade, we talked about what about the Independent since last week? What have they found from Freedom of Information documents? They found that, lo and behold, it was blood for oil, the invasion of Iraq, that BP was meeting with the Blair administration, the Blair government, about 5 months before the invasion, basically carving up the oil reserves of Iraq.
Right. But, of course, since this has now been revealed a year or two after the fact, they can say, let's not dwell in the past. We have to go forward. And while they're simultaneously plotting to murder for oil, they flood the airways with a lot of hokum and nonsense to distract people, and there's no accountability. But clearly there are war crimes were committed, clearly, and Blair should be hung like Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, but where are the 2 million people who are who were out there marching, the biggest protest ever in British history? Where are they? Are they just drunk this weekend? Do they care? They don't seem to care. At least not even 100 of them, not even 100 of those 2 million could be bothered to go out and protest about this.
Well, they still believe that you need the government to declare war before war starts, but we now know that the corporations go in there and start killing people. The governments never declare war. And a year or two later, they find out that there were massive war crimes to make a few people rich. And so the idea of going in and protesting and being in the street, it's very quaint. I mean, it suggests some kind of representational government that hasn't been in effect for decades.
Yes, I do recall at the time, of course, the line was, you know, because there was also a G8 conference that happened up in Edinburgh around that time, in that whole period. And, oh, Tony Blair and George Bush said, isn't this so quaint? You see, we have democracy here, and this is what we're bringing to Iraq. We're going to give them the right to go out in the streets with placards for meaningless protests that go nowhere. That's democracy.
Yeah, and we'll put you into the kettle surrounded by cops and deny you all due process. And it's a troubling trend. And, of course, the activists are on the street, and I only hope that they can adopt the Silver 500 strategy to win, because we don't have time for dilly-dallying anymore. We actually have to win some put some points on the scoreboard here.
Okay, so now we're walking past the, what's this, like the bric-a-brac shop. It just has random stuff, really. A lot to do with laundry and shopping carts. What is it with the French really like their whole shopping accoutrements, don't they?
Yeah, well, you got these rolling shopping trolleys. They're always popular. And so here you get, it's not really a hardware store, is it? It's a wares,
no.
Kitchen and bath wares store, more or less.
Yeah, it kind of has random stuff. Some containers, boxes.
Yeah.
Garbage cans.
Mm.
But I see they have even the little children's shopping trolley thing. But every self-respecting French person, French female, has a one of these shopping trolleys. But what sort of adult would pull that behind her with this cartoon character on it?
That doesn't look very fetching, does it? The crazy mangled-looking kitty cat.
Yeah, it is a very mangled-looking kitty cat. That kitty cat looks as deranged as that pigeon that we just saw down the road. And I've never seen a pigeon that mangy, by the way. I have to say it again, because it was important to discuss.
Rough night, perhaps.
Let's walk down here. Let's see what's down here. Because we've never walked down here. This is Passage Poncelet.
Oh.
So it looks very quiet down here. So Max Kaiser, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so gold closed. It's settled. It settled at over 1,500. I guess it was, what, 1,506, 1,507?
Right.
On the last trading day, mm-hmm. on Thursday?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's above 1,500, and it's just making that march up to 5,000 area in a very orderly manner. It's a very orderly price appreciation, and it's just a bull market. It's a bull market. It's had 10 years of this bull market, and you've got another at least 10 years to go. So it's looking good. I mean, people who've on this show, we recommend.
Yeah, but is that the case? Do you think it's really just the situation of a bull market, or do you think it's never going to be the same again, or at least not in dollars? Because if this is the end of the dollar and the pound, and, well, most of the fiat currencies we have in existence at the moment, if there's going to be a hit reset sort of button that is pushed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's different from a bull market sort of thing? Do you think, can you ever see it coming back down to $250?
You know, the bull market, bear market cycle in the case of gold and paper, it's a 15 to 20 year cycle. So from, you know, 1982 to 2000, you had a bull market in paper, and gold went from $800 an ounce to $250. Which is where Gordon Brown sold half of Britain's gold. And then you've got, starting in 2000, it was a bear market in paper, basically, and a bull market in gold. And we're 10 years into it. And what will happen is a new architecture will be formed. It'll be gold, silver-backed currencies will come back again. This will offer some stability for 10 or 15 or 20 years. And by then, the financial engineers will have figured out a way to make their presence known once again. And people will say, oh my God, paper is beautiful. We hate gold. And the cycle will roll over again. So people have very short memories in economics. They, within 5 years of the collapse of the dollar, people will have totally forgotten about it. They won't remember anything that happened. The people who got killed by it will be dead and buried and forgotten. The people who got lost all their money will be completely marginalized and have no political power and totally forgotten. There'll be a new generation of 22-year-old kids who think they've refigured out what John Law thought he figured out in 1715, that you can have a paper economy and the whole thing will start over again. It's just been that way for thousands of years.
By the way, I saw Andrew Neil tweeted once on Thursday that when gold hit 1500, and he tweeted that his advisors, Merrill Lynch, advised him at 900 not to buy gold. So he didn't buy gold. And now he's angry with his financial consultants.
Right. Well, the Merrill Lynch is represents paper. They don't represent gold and sound money. So if you go into the barber shop and you ask the barber, do you think I need a haircut? The barber is going to say, yeah, of course, you need a haircut. If you go into the Merrill Lynch and you say, do you think I should be invested in paper instead of gold? They're going to say, yeah, of course, you should be invested in paper instead of gold. They're not, they have an agenda. Their entire, you know, Merrill Lynch was involved in the biggest Ponzi scheme in history. It's a complete farce. I mean, anyone who listens to them is an idiot. I mean, why? But this is, again, what makes prices. You know, you've got buyers and sellers. But the people who are selling gold since it was $500 an ounce have been absolutely catastrophically wrong. Then they're wrong now. Merrill Lynch will be offering gold to its clients once the price gets above $5,000 an ounce. Andrew Marr will be a buyer of gold at $5,000
an ounce. Andrew Marr, probably.
He'll be a buyer of gold when it gets to $5,000 an ounce. And then, of course, people like myself will be starting to ease out of our position and moving on to the next thing.
That's right. See, of course, only on Resonance 104.4 FM, only. I believe this is the only media outlet in the entire UK that was telling people to buy at £200 an ounce, what is now over £900 an ounce. By the way, that's what I told Andrew Neil. I tweeted back to him because he said, oh, great, my advisors advised me not to buy at 900 and now it's 1500. I said, well, at least you didn't sell it at 250.
Yeah.
Like Gordon Brown.
Mm. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, people just have, they don't spend, you know, like Peter Lynch, who's a famous money manager in America, used to say, people spend months and months figuring out what refrigerator to buy for $300. And they research and they go to Consumer Reports and they go to the store and they investigate. And when it comes to whether they should buy gold or a stock or something like that, they take their advice from a broker. They don't spend more than 2 minutes on it. And they're spending $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 on something. They don't think about it more than 2 minutes typically. But they'll spend all day deciding how to buy a $300 refrigerator. So it's just one of those quirks of economics where people's self-interest is unfortunately co-opted by some faulty wiring in the brain. And anyone who sells securities takes advantage of that, the same way that anyone who owns a casino takes advantage of that.
Yeah, but the problem with stocks and shares and bonds and stuff like that is that there's no equivalent to Consumer Reports. There's only you know, paid sort of consultants and paid rating agencies that are corrupt. There's no sort of disinterested third party that provides the equivalent of what Consumer Reports. I mean, I guess on Twitter and things like that, you could see people's opinions, but there's no sort of aggregation of whether or not this product or service or the management delivers.
No, I have to disagree. That's not the problem. The problem is that people have a vested interest in maintaining the status quo, but the only way to make money, serious money, is to go against the status quo. That's the conflict, and it's that's in everyone's brain. To be, you have to be contrarian to make money that's nobody else is making. So to buy gold when it was $300 an ounce, $200 an ounce, you had to basically say that the Ponzi, the high tech bubble was going to burst, that the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac was going to burst, that the policies of the Fed were corrupt, that the banks on Wall Street were corrupt. Now at that time, when we were saying that, everyone was saying, "Well, you're a conspiracy theorist, and you just hate bankers, and you are jealous of all their wealth, and you just don't know how it works." And we had many people sending us emails all the time. "You don't know how this works." These are people who didn't buy gold. These are people who are now suffering. It's not a fact. It's not that the information wasn't there. It's that their brain, the human brain, is set up in ways that prevent strategizing intelligently unless you really are willing to. If you know, you have to know yourself well enough to know what your own human failings are. I mean, 99% of the population has never really thought about that. They just go with the flow, and that's it. But therein lies the opportunity.
Yeah, plus there's something that you've often talked about, which is that people have this real, I guess the propaganda has worked on people, that they really think that bankers, just by calling yourself a banker, you're somehow you have some sort of divine knowledge about the future, about where prices will go. And you saw that here, especially places like the UK, Amsterdam, perhaps Germany, somewhere where there's a huge concentration of bankers and financial services in the economy. So you saw that when you were on 10 o'clock live, there was one bit where that guy James Max, the reality TV contestant, where he got some applause from the audience. What did he say? He said something along the lines of, "Max, you don't understand what bankers are like. You don't understand how bankers think." And people clapped for that. Like, they had some weird sort of empathy and sympathy for bankers.
Right. Well, the UK is the banking hedge fund capital of the world. So the people in the audience are heavily invested in that. In France, if the debate was about wine, and I challenged that perhaps French wine was not all that it was cracked up to be, you would have had the exact same reaction. Somebody would have said, "You don't know anything about wine," and the audience would have supported that view, because their economy here in France is based on agriculture to a large degree, and the wine-growing provinces are highly protected. In the UK, it's Ponzi schemes and paper pushing. So, in the audience, whether they know it or not, they're entirely invested in this. But when once you leave London, though, and you're in towns like Manchester and Birmingham and other areas, they know that they've been had, they've been snookered, they've been, speaking of snooker, I believe they're going to be at the Octagon or the Maze, or my man...
The Maze?
Sullivan.
Ronnie O'Sullivan.
Ronnie O'Sullivan. Are they playing the snooker championship? Is it this weekend? Fastest break in history, 147 in like 4 minutes, 57 seconds.
What is it with you and snooker? But you know what? We're going to wrap up the show a little bit early, five minutes early, because it's Easter and we are hungry. And we know that there's some nice scallops available at the cafe right near our apartment. And we want to get a good seat, don't we? Because we want to get a good table outside in the sunshine.
Yeah, we do. So are we saying goodbye, y'all?
Yeah, we're going to say that.
Okay, well, bye, y'all.